Hell Yes Life, episode 54. Welcome to the Hell Yes Life podcast, the show that helps you come alive so you can live a Hell Yes Life. I'm your host, Norman Bell. Hey there, Hell Yes Lifers. This is Norman Bell, the host of the Hell Yes Life podcast. Welcome to another episode of HYL. I hope you are doing great today. I'm going to dive right into our episode intro and let you know that our guest this week is none other than Nick Britton. Now, who is Nick Britton, you might be asking? Well, let me tell you, he is the author of Lessons from Little Ones. Nick has held many jobs in the past, but one of his favorite has been as a preschool teacher. Now, Nick is not your stereotypical preschool teacher. He's a six foot two guy. He was a former football player and a graduate from a military academy. But nevertheless, Nick has found a real love of working with children. He has a master's degree in early childhood education, and he really has appreciated his time working with kids. And it was one of the reasons I wanted to have Nick on the show is I actually share that that experience with Nick. I worked with preschool age kids when I was in my 20s for about 3 or 4 years. And I found the same thing, that the kids can be the wisest teachers. Nick and I had a great conversation about the wisdom of children. So let's go ahead and dive right in. Nick Britton, welcome to the Hell Yes Life podcast. Are you ready to tell us about your Hell Yes Life?
Yes, definitely. Again, my name is Nick Britton. Right now, I am in Miami. I'm not originally from South Florida or the Miami area. I'm from up north, Vermont, which is similar weather to where you're at. But my background's very unique, as in I'm in my late 20s right now. I own two businesses. I own a bunch of real estate, and most recently I wrote two books that are doing very well on the best-selling charts. And, you know, but before I did all this, I was a preschool teacher. Similar to your story, I don't know if your listeners know that you were a teacher and involved with preschool at one point in your life, but, you know, I was hanging out with little kids. And when you think of a preschool teacher, you think, I don't fit the stereotypical preschool teacher. I played college football. I'm 6'2", 240 pounds. I was in the military, did all that. And I really found my passion working with children.
That's great, Nick. Yeah, and I'd like to dive more into that. I think we can spend a good amount of time talking about that. And Hell Yes Lifers, I can't remember if I've talked about this on the show before or not, but one of the reasons I wanted to have Nick on the show was I have that in common with him. I also worked with preschool age children for, I think, about 3 years or so in my 20s, and found it to be, you know, really one of the most, I'm going to say the most enjoyable jobs. I mean, I learned a lot, let's just put it that way. And so I really identify with what Nick is saying about children being wise teachers and the lessons that they can teach us. So I'm looking forward to diving into that a little bit more. So Nick, why don't we talk a little bit about how this came about? So like you said, you're not the typical, what someone would think of when they think of a preschool teacher. How did you find yourself entering into the world of preschool teaching?
Yes, I've known my whole life that my passion was to help people. I want to give back what was so freely given to me. And, you know, it's funny, as you get older and your perception on the world obviously changes. So my idea of how I can help as many people as possible is changing, honestly, probably on a day-to-day basis, specifically right now with social media. You know, we're talking and we're over 2,000 miles apart right now. And so, you know, the world is changing. So, you know, ideas are changing and there's opportunities to reach a huge, large, vast amount of people faster and quicker than forever. So I've always known I wanted to help people. I always knew I wanted to be a teacher. But now I'm realizing that, really everyone is a teacher in one way or another, right? Everyone can be a coach, a mentor, a teacher. You don't need college degrees or licenses to really help people reach their full potential. And that's what I want to do.
That's great. That's great. I can totally identify with that as well. I just actually wrote that in a Google, you know, I always write down notes in my Google Docs and it's like, teacher, I'm a teacher, regardless of what I'm doing, you know, whether it's this or coaching or online courses, I'm a teacher. So I can really identify with that. Let's talk specifically about how old were you and how did it happen that you took your first job in a preschool?
Yes, when I went to undergrad, I went to one of the military academies, and there I knew I wanted to be a public service, right? And I used to tell people I wanted to be a teacher, and stereotypical, they asked if I wanted to be a gym teacher or a football coach. And I'm like, no, I kind of like little kids. They're raw. I know I don't want to deal with, you know, older kids and puberty and personalities. I'm like, kids, children, infants, they have this such a blank slate where they're so not even molded yet. They have no perceptions on the world except for really what you can teach them. It's like their brain's a sponge and they truly learn anything, good and bad. And I realized that can be an amazing opportunity for me to, you know, help this world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a quote that I return to on this podcast all the time, which is by the civil rights activist Howard Thurman. And it's, don't ask what the world needs, ask what makes you come alive and go do it, because what the world needs is people who have come alive. And then I always think of children, you know, like that time that I worked with children, like you don't have to coax a child into coming alive. Like they are alive and they're present and spontaneous, authentic, curious. And, you know, to me, that's, they already have so many of the qualities that I'm looking to have in my own life and to help other people achieve in their hell yes life. So once you started working with them, I mean, what did you start to notice? And maybe this can relate a little bit to your book, Lessons from the Little Ones. You know, maybe start telling us a little bit about some of the lessons you learned.
Of course. So, you know, one of the things I started to notice, and I noticed by observing adults, my colleagues, people around me, and they always complain about life, about the world around them. And it made me sick. Right. Monday mornings came and every teacher was miserable. Right. And they just looked to Friday. And I believe that's what Hell Yes Life is about. It's about like grasping all 7 days of the week to your full capacity. And by observing fellow teachers, by observing administrators, I'm like, what is wrong with these people? They wake up and their lives are just OK. They're just getting by. They're counting the hours until the day's over. And I decided as a teacher to look to the positivity, and that happened to be focusing on the children, right? Not the cattiness at our jobs. We all have drama somewhat at our job, whether you're an entrepreneur or business owner, you have to deal with it some way. So I put all my energy into observing children for about 4 or 5 years. I went to graduate school and I got my master's in early childhood special ed. And I thought getting my master's degree was going to change the world and I was going to be able to do so much. And it just didn't change, right? Nothing changed. You know, adults' attitudes were all the same. And I see it right now. This whole country is divided and it's ugly and nasty. And I'm like, I just want to be around positive people. And I realized that, like, kids are the most rawest, the most genuine positive people I've ever experienced. They don't know how to lie. They don't know how to manipulate. All they know how to do is just, you know, imagine and use their mind. And I started observing successful people. And I realized that these successful people, they have the same characteristics that children have. Now, here's the thing. We all had those characteristics at one point in our lives, and we lost it along the way.
Wow. Yeah. So tell us about those characteristics. And also what have we lost, and what, you know, in other words, what's covering over those characteristics? It sounds like it's not it wouldn't be a process for us to add something new. It's about kind of stripping away what we've taken on so we can get back to accessing what we naturally had as children.
Yes. And I think one of the biggest things is honestly the power of the mind, right? You see all these highly successful people, they've envisioned themselves living the life that they know they deserve, right? And over 100 years ago, Napoleon Hill wrote Think and Grow Rich, right? And I'm sure you and your listeners have read this book from the early 1900s. And it said, you know, what the mind can conceive and believe, the mind can achieve. Now, I don't know about you, but somewhere along middle school and high school, I stopped dreaming. I stopped thinking about, you know, a big picture goal. And I got focused kind of on that everyday routine of middle school and high school, and I lost that. And I'm very fortunate and lucky enough to have control over my mind again. And to, you know, my story is unique. I quit my job at the age of 25. I drained out my 401k and I moved across the country because I knew I wanted to become an entrepreneur. And I believed in myself and I believed in my imagination and in the thought process that I will succeed. And guess what? I did it. And children have that. Successful, highly successful people have that. But, you know, I kind of hope to make people realize how powerful their mind is.
Yeah, I think you're really onto something there. So what are those, can you describe the traits that successful people have that children have? So for example, positivity or spontaneity or drive or whatever. How would you define those?
Yes, definitely. Determination is huge. Children have this get after it life, right? They do really whatever they want to do, whenever they want to do it. And they don't really have limits to what they can do, except for the limits that parents and society puts on them. They also have this incredible drive, as you mentioned, and that goes hand in hand, you know, with what we just talked about, but they have this drive and this determination. And, you know, and their imagination and the power of the mind is absolutely huge and essential for children to succeed and children to be happy. Another thing is they take responsibility for their lives. Kids learn to lie. And I see it all the times. I run a couple of companies right now and I go to meetings and people just lie just for the heck of lying, right? Employees lie. I'm sure we deal with this on a day-to-day basis, man. There's a better way, you know. I've learned that nobody's smart enough to try to manipulate another person, another situation, or to, you know, embellish the truth. It all comes back eventually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love what you're saying here. So determination, drive, imagination, responsibility. I hadn't really thought of responsibility, but no, you're right. You know, like a child will naturally take responsibility until they maybe have been socialized to learn not to do so, right? And I was just thinking of determination. You know, I have a 7-year-old daughter, and you know, when she was how old was she when she started to walk? Actually, kind of a little earlier than we thought, like maybe 10 months old. But any child who's learning how to walk or do something new, it's amazing how they'll just come back time and time again because they're not afraid to fail, right? They're okay with falling down and getting back up again and trying a different way until they get it. And it's only later in life that we, you know, once we're in our kind of cultural, once we're in our society that tells us like, oh, failing is bad or something, that we start to give up when we fail. Anyway, obviously I'm on the same train of thinking as you are here, Nick.
It's so cliche, right? To like, just to say it, like, you know, you're going to fall, but guess what? Get yourself back up. Just like when you learn how to walk, you learn how to talk, you learn how to crawl and stand up. You fell down, but that didn't stop you. And I try to help entrepreneurs. I try to help people see their full potential. And so many times do people fall and they forget to pull themselves together and to get back up.
Mm-hmm. So what happens to us then? I think we're touching on it already. You get, like you said, you got into high school and college and you sort of lost sight of that bigger picture. What happened to you and what do you think it happens to all of us?
Honestly, I believe that it's love masked as fear, right? Now, so bear with me for a second. So, you know, you have a 7-year-old daughter and you obviously care for her greatly. You love for her greatly. But at that time that you might give her limiting beliefs about things she can do just because you're afraid that A, she's going to fail, or B, she's going to hurt herself. So I think it's people honestly caring, right? Motives are good. The people's motives are to help each other, to show love. But at the same time, what you're potentially doing is it's like a never ending cycle. You're refraining them from reaching their full potential.
Right. Yeah. And it's funny because as a preschool teacher, I interacted with kids in a certain way, but then of course at 5 o'clock I went home. But yeah, having your own child, you see that side of it a bit more. I think it's funny. My wife is a wonderful mom, but I can see that more in her role as mom, where she's the one who's a little bit more, I don't know about that, a little more concerned. And I'm kind of more the one who's like, she'll be fine. Let's let her give it a try. But that's definitely there. Of course, since I'm doing this show, I always have it in the back of my mind. It's like, hey, come on, I can't have the Hell Yes Life podcast and then tell my daughter that she should get a safe job as an accountant or something like that. She should go after her dreams. Tell us a little bit more about lessons that you learned. Again, maybe some of the lessons that you covered in your book.
Yes, and this goes back to that determination, right? And there was this little girl. I'm going to share with you a quick story. She was probably about 4 years old. She looked like she was a younger 3-year-old. So she was tiny. And she was pretending to be a queen of the playground or whatever it might be. First and foremost, right? We all imagine that we want to be kings and queens. And I don't know why those dreams disappeared. We should all imagine great successes. But part of her, what she wanted to do was to build a castle. And that looked like dragging a huge tree branch across the playground and to build a castle with it. I tried to help this little girl 3 or 4 times. And she started screaming at me because she refused my help. She didn't want my help. She was going to do it on her own. And she knew she was going to do it on her own. And that was such a great, powerful story for me was, hey, I'm not going to say do things on your own, because I realize, our network, right? And we're the product of the people we surround ourselves with most, etc. But like just that determination of crushing your goal, whatever it takes to get there, this little girl had, and she taught me, which was such a great lesson I learned.
That's great. That's a great story. And, can totally relate to that. Again, watching my daughter, wanting to master new things, like, lately she's just been getting into all kinds of gymnastic activities. Not the actual like classes, but just, hey, look at what I can do on the playground equipment and da, 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 da. And just, yeah, there's a constant, innate sense of wanting to master things or just become better at things that they're interested in. What else? Any other lessons?
Yes, a huge one was this little boy on the playground who bit another kid, which is never a good thing. He broke his skin. He grabbed onto his forearm with his teeth and he just latched onto this kid, and it was an ugly situation. But after I intervened and I talked to this kid and tried to really figure out what his motive was, he was dead honest with me, 100%. Explained to me that there was just something about this other child that he didn't like and that he wanted to hurt that other child, right? Now, that honesty, I can appreciate. Any other teacher would have dug even deeper and convinced them that maybe the kid took the toy from him or something like that. But no, this kid took full responsibility and told me, Mr. Nick, there was something I didn't like about him. So I got angry, right? And just that personal responsibility that I think all politicians, right? Doesn't matter what side of the spectrum you're on, just taking responsibility for our lives is huge, right? We're grown adults, can't even do that right now. I see my peers and my colleagues, I see gurus that I thought I looked up to who have lost that ability to take responsibility, and they point the finger at other people.
Yes, definitely a lot of finger pointing going on in our society these days. But I love, you know, that in this conversation, we're kind of like coming back to like, yeah, what can we learn from these children? And good news is we have all been children, so we can get back to accessing that part of ourselves. So what would you say to any of our listeners out there who might be in that place where, you know, maybe some of the societal influences have come in and they've lost sight of whatever that big vision is for themselves or their natural inborn state of that they had as a child. What could we do to get back there?
Yes. And that's why I love, you know, I listen to your podcast, which is great for me to be here talking to you. And, you know, the biggest thing with that is I feel like most of your listeners have already somewhere along the line made a decision to live a better life, right? A hell yes life, whatever that might be for them. And that's the decision is honestly the hardest part, right? So just for listening to this podcast, A, congratulations, but B, you need to understand that there is a long journey ahead of you. And that's huge that, you know, I'm talking about children and children, you know, life is such a long, drawn-out process, right? And you never stop learning, never stop growing, you never stop becoming a better person. So maybe if you fall and you're struggling right now, understand that, you know, you're given, just for getting up in the morning, you've been given another opportunity, an opportunity to become a better person, to succeed, to be happier. And it's such an amazing opportunity to have.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So what are some things that you have learned from the children you've worked with or, you know, that you've written about in your book that you take with you as you're going forward in your journey as an entrepreneur?
Honestly, my biggest thing is the power of my mind, because it wasn't till my early to mid-20s until I started dreaming again, until I started realizing that I deserve greatness. I deserve happiness. And it sounds crazy to think about. I write down my goals and my dreams every single day in the same notebook. It's, you know, ask my wife, I go crazy OCD about it. I have to write down my goals and my dreams. That's what I have to do. That's as basic as you get, right? And the older I've gotten, I have to write down little things like, hey, Nick, don't eat chocolate cake today. Hey, Nick, I have to work out, but I have to write down my goals and my dreams to keep me focused, to keep me driven, and for me to truly just have that hell yes life that you talk about.
Yeah, that's great. In a way, it sounds like you're almost coaching or you know, kind of guiding the kid in you to move forward with the things that you want to do in life. You write those things down every day. You kind of have to remind yourself, hey, I'm not going to eat chocolate cake today. So I can imagine that for myself, you know, just like that warm mentor or guide or whatever is like, hey, Norman, hey, you know, talking to the kid that wants to just binge on chocolate cake first thing in the morning. Hey, we're not going to do that today. Remember how that went last time? Let's keep focused on our goals and dreams. Tell me a little bit about your morning routine. What does that look like? Do you have you were mentioning a little bit about writing down those goals. Do you have other things you like to do?
Yes. My morning routine consists of, you know, first thing I do is honestly, I'm just filled with gratitude and so grateful for an opportunity to live. Right. I've seen people die way too young. I've seen some bad stuff in our lives. I think we can all say what happened, last week with that Las Vegas, a couple of weeks ago with that Las Vegas horrible situation was, you know, don't take life so seriously, right? I work a lot and I take great pride in my work ethic and my social media, and I can be a very serious person. But at the end of the day, it's like, you know, we're here to live a life, right? That's it. I want to help people. And I take that, that's my passion. So I take that head on. But guess what? At the end of the day, we're all going to unfortunately die. And understanding that it's not that serious. It's not that big of a deal if you have a sticking point, if you're struggling. it's not the end of the world. You can get through that and you can grow from it and become a better person.
Yeah, I honestly, I don't know. I might write about this when I write my book at some point here, but you know, I really feel like sometimes that we get so serious and sort of downtrodden in life because we forget we're going to die. It just sort of seems like, oh, this is, oh, it's just another day. Here we go again. And, oh, I'll go after my dreams someday. Well, you know, there's something about just acknowledging that we're going to die at some point I don't know. For me, it helps me come alive a bit, you know, kind of wakes me up like, whoa, that's right. This is everything around me is completely special. You know, I'm not always going to be here to observe this and experience this. And it kind of brings me back into that curiosity, you know, that spontaneity that I had when I was a kid.
Of course. And I think that's, you know, being grateful. You know, you asked about the morning routine. First thing is gratitude, right? If I don't wake up with gratitude, I'm going to have a miserable day. Nothing else matters if I don't wake up and I'm happy to be alive. Because it happens, right? I'm not perfect. We're not perfect. There's days where I wake up and I'm pissed off over something that happened yesterday. And it's never a good start of my day. It's never a good day if I have, you know, those thoughts from what happened in the past.
Yeah, I find with a gratitude list that the exact time to do it is when I'm not feeling grateful. And, you know, it's not that I have to feel great about everything to do a gratitude list. It's that over the course of the process of doing a gratitude list, it shifts my mind from the negativity that I may be focusing on at the moment to, oh, wait a second, you know, hey, there, you know, that might be going on, but look at all these other things that are going on. It kind of lessens the blow of whatever negative thing might be occupying my mind. What else? Anything else you do in the morning?
You know, waking up, being grateful, writing down my goals and my dreams. And, you know, I stole it from Grant Cardone, who's such an amazing person, but just dreaming and goaling and having goals bigger than you think is big enough, right? So he talks a lot about, Mr. Cardone talks a lot about that 10X rule. And I really incorporated that in my life because, you know, I wrote a book and selling 1,000 copies of a book is highly above average, right? So I wanted to sell 1,000 copies a month. And then all of a sudden I multiplied that by 10. I said, why don't I try to sell 10,000 copies a month? So this way, you know, if I fail, I might hit 2,000 or 3,000, which is still twice, three times as much. So I write down big astronomical goals that that keep me focused. I still write down like little daily goals, but I write down these massive things that even when I tell my wife, she kind of looks at me a little strange, like, okay, I believe in you, but it's pretty ridiculous.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, yeah, actually, Nick, whether you know it or not, you've just walked right into my next question, which is, I often will ask guests about what I like to call your cringeworthy vision. And so I think what you're describing here fits the bill. Cringeworthy vision is a vision so big, it makes you cringe to think about sharing it with other people. And I'd like to ask you now, like, it sounds like you have a big goals, you know, for, you know, the number of books you sell and so forth. Do you have like an overall vision of, hey, here's what I want to do with my life?
Yes. And it's funny because, you know, you look at, right, we're talk politics for a second. Look at Donald Trump. He has so much money that he can just give it away, right? So many of these people have so much money that they can give it away. And I'm focused on helping people, right? To helping, obviously, my family first. But I want to get to that point where, A, my wife doesn't have to work anymore. And that's going to probably happen sooner rather than later. But telling her, giving her the option, like, hey, you don't have to work again in your life because I got this. And then B, you know, Warren Buffett is great at giving away his money and just making, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars. I honestly, between you and me, I can't get the concept of $1 billion, right? A million is easy. You know, I've seen that, have that, and being a millionaire, that's not a big deal. You know, 10 million is where I'm looking at right now. And then like 100 million, but like $1 billion is like, so I can't even grasp my mind around having $1,000 million right now. So I'm working on, you know, my 100 million. How can I stack $1 million 100 times and then eventually be so financially free that I can give it away, that I can just help charities and then really help, right? Because, you know, this we just had a hurricane down here in Miami, and I, such a tragic event, right? And I gave blood and I donated a couple $100 to these programs, but I'm like, I want to get to the point where I can donate more than, you know, a couple $100, just donate, you know, just real big money and hopefully just help the world.
That sounds like a hell yes vision to me, Nick. Sounds great. Yeah, you know, it's about, I want to make a lot of money in my life as well, but without, you know, I think not everybody feels the need to be of service, but I think that a lot of us feel that without that component, it's not a complete vision, right? So I think what you're talking about is being of service as a teacher and an author, but then also to be able to be of service, should you be able to accumulate that wealth to be able to distribute some of that to people in need. And I feel the same way. I want to start a HYL Foundation someday and contribute to lots of organizations too. So I share that vision with you as well. Well, what about, as we start to wind down, what is an action step that you would suggest to our listeners that they could take, just even a small step that they could take today?
My biggest thing was in 2015, my goal that year was to read one book a week. Kind of stole that from Ty Lopez, who's big with reading books. And I truly wanted to read one book a week. Little personally about me, when I grew up, I was labeled, you know, special ed, said I would never really succeed, put in these special classes. I was never a good reader or a good writer, but I got in the habit of reading. And that changed my life. That year, I did not read 52 books in a year. I did read 50, but I read 50 books that year. And now I constantly read, right? And I don't know how I went so long without picking up a book and reading it. So that would be, you know, the most basic action, right? Is pick up a book and read it. I love old school books. I love feeling it in my hands. But, you know, you can read online. You can read on Kindles, on iPads, iPhones, whatever it might be. But understand that we're constantly growing. Our mind is constantly growing. And stay focused on expanding your mind and your perspective to this world.
Do you have any one or two books that are, you know, you're reading now or have recently read that you would recommend?
Yes, I'll give you my favorite authors. Number one favorite author would be Malcolm Gladwell, and he wrote a lot of unique books like David versus Goliath and The Tipping Point. And I believe Blink. And then I talked about Grant Cardone. I love his books. But, and Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I think any entrepreneur has read that at one point in their life. So those are like my three go-to books or authors.
Great, great. Yeah, classic books and authors. I'll include some references to those in the show notes, Hell Yes Lifers. So thanks so much for joining us, Nick. As we wind down, tell us where we can find you on the internet.
Yes, I'm all over the internet. Again, the spelling of my last name is Britton. You can find me at NJ Britton, Twitter, Instagram, everything. But most importantly, I just want to connect with people. I want to have conversations with people. I want to hear how people think and what they think about. So if you see me on Twitter and Facebook and, you know, shoot me a quick Google search and I guarantee you all my links will pop up. But, you know, I want to connect with you. That's what I want to do. I want to help people. I want to just help change the world with other people. That's what it's about.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Nick. And we'll include links in the show notes to the places you mentioned there so people can connect with you. And I just want to say, you know, thanks so much for joining us on the show. And like I say, I really identify with your background and experience working with children and, that your assertion that they have so much to teach us. So thanks again for joining us.
Of course. Thank you for the time.
Thanks for joining me for this episode of the Hell Yes Life podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite RSS feed. If you like the show, please leave a rating and review. And if you want to stay connected, visit hellyeslife.com and sign up for the e-newsletter and private Facebook group. Again, I'm Norman Bell. Thanks for joining me. Now let's get out there and live a Hell Yes life.